I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. This is The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle. Sound stories, sound voices. Immigrant family separations are still looming, and now the Trump administration is turning its attention to immigrants who are residing in the U.S. legally. A leaked draft document indicates that the Department of Homeland Security would authorize federal officials to deny legal permanent resident status, green cards, to legal immigrants if they use public benefits, things like food stamps, Medicaid, or housing vouchers, benefits that they are entitled to. The administration's plan is based on a century-old law that says that a person who is very likely to become, quote, primarily dependent, end quote, on government services cannot become a legal permanent resident. This would affect about 250,000 people in Washington state, according to a breakdown done by the nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute. I'm joined by Sarah Soumadi from One America, a refugee advocacy group, and we have on the line with us Alia Haq. She's Nutrition Services Supervisor with the International Community Health Services. Now, in justifying this policy, the Department of Homeland Security said more than half of all immigrant households use one or more welfare program. They said this is driving up the federal debt and deficit. It's unfairly taking benefits away from vulnerable U.S. citizens and communities. And Homeland Security concludes that non-citizen public benefit usage is deeply unfair to U.S. taxpayers. Sarah, what's your response to that?
One thing that they don't mention, unfortunately, is that native-born citizens are actually more likely to use benefits and are more likely to not be working while receiving those benefits than foreign-born people who are here legally in the United States.
So you don't see it as taking away from vulnerable U.S. citizens?
No, not at all. There have been a lot of studies that show that every dollar that's invested in something like food stamps actually generates almost $2 in economic activity because it enables people to work, they pay more taxes, they spend more money.
Alia Haq, Nutrition Services Supervisor with the International Community Health Services, she's with us on the line. Now, even though this policy isn't official, I understand that immigrants are already reacting to this proposed policy to revoke legal resident status from legal immigrants if they use these public benefits. What are you hearing?
So I'm having a lot of families actually come to us and asking us to remove them from this program. They do not want any benefits. And one dad actually said that he would like us to remove his name from the WIC program, which I represent, the Women, Infants, and Children's Nutrition Program. And also all the medical and dental benefits the ICHS provides to, whoever walks into the doors of ICHS. And the reason he gave me was that he does not want something that happened to his friend in California happened to him as well. And I asked, what happened to your friend? He said, my friend was deported. And similarly, I've had other women, pregnant women, come and tell us to remove them from this program. Either because their immigration process is going on or that they are going to apply for citizenship.
And what impact will this have on the health of folks who are saying, I don't want this service because I'm afraid it's going to hurt my status?
Okay, so WIC program is basically, the WIC nutrition program is a preventive health program, health benefit program, which provides health benefits, addresses childhood obesity, anemia, iron deficiency, and other health indicators that could lead to more significant conditions as children mature into adults. So by encouraging participation and investing in WIC, the government is actually saving later costs to Medicaid, emergency health services, and the American taxpayer. So it's actually, a program that benefits the government in the long run. And by not enrolling in the WIC program, I fear these children are going to go out and be sick and unhealthy. The ER visits are going to go up, and I'm afraid the infant and maternal mortality can even go up later on because these pregnant women who are going to be scared to, access any health care are going to give birth to kids at home.
Yeah. And WIC, if you're not familiar with, is the Women, Infants, and Children Program.
Nutrition program.
And Alia, when people say that I want to withdraw from this program, what do you tell them?
Well, we try our best to tell them that, you know what, this hasn't become a law yet, and we try to ease the situation by telling them that if you have been on this program for some time, you're not going to be punished retroactively. And then we are not going to give your information to anyone. And in fact, at ICHS, where I work, the International Community Health Services, has clearly you know, does not allow anyone to give any information to folks, government folks that walk into our clinics, and we simply try our best to, you know, make it easy for them, but there's only so much we can do.
So you can promise them that this will not be used retroactively against them? Is that a promise you can keep?
Yes, that we can say, because that's the information we received from the National Living Association and others, that it's not going to affect them retroactively.
Yeah. Sarah Sumati from One America, this is a proposal for a change in the public charge test. Could you explain what the public charge test is and what the current rule is?
Yeah, absolutely. The public charge test has been around actually since the 1880s. The idea was that folks who wanted to immigrate to the United States had to prove that they weren't likely to become a ward of the state in the future. And that concept is still applied in immigration law today. In order to obtain permanent resident status, a green card, someone has to show the government that, through a variety of factors, that they are not likely to become primarily dependent on government assistance in the future. And the government can look at things like their age, their health, their income, assets, who are they supporting, who's supporting them, and their ability to work. And then it also has a few negative factors currently that make it more likely that someone could be deemed a public charge. And those are if the person has ever received cash benefits, direct income maintenance, or if they've been institutionalized for long-term care at the government's expense. So a nursing facility paid by Medicaid, for example.
But a lot of these cases we're talking about are not that kind of cash payment.
Exactly. So what the Trump administration is proposing to do now, based on a leaked draft proposal we saw in March, what they're proposing to do is drastically expand the list of public benefits that could be considered negative factors in the public charge test. So everything from food stamps, Medicaid, even subsidized health insurance under the Affordable Care Act, which everyone is required to have, as we know, or we pay a tax penalty, even things like claiming the earned income tax credit on one's taxes. Those are all the things that the Trump administration wants to add to the test to make them negative factors.
It's kind of a black box because it's a proposed rule, and even the Trump administration has said that it might change. But what about this idea that it could be retroactive? Do we know that it couldn't be retroactive? Do they know that they could say that, oh, if you were receiving these benefits a year or 2 years ago, then you're going to be denied this status?
So what we are basing all of our analysis on is the latest leaked draft of the proposal, which is a 236-page proposal leaked to the press in March. And in that, there were direct provisions saying that this would not be retroactive, that if the rule were to become final, people would have time to make changes, and that there would be a specific date by which you might be penalized if you were still receiving benefits. But no, we have seen nothing that would say it would be retroactive.
Now, I understand this also affects people who are using public benefits for kids who are U.S. citizens.
Yes, that's one of the most radical changes that we've seen proposed, is that a parent who is eligible to receive their green card, they're already here lawfully. Let's say their U.S. citizen child is receiving subsidized health insurance or Medicaid, that parent could be penalized when they seek a green card based on that.
Alia, I understand one of the stories that you've heard from a WIC-enrolled woman was that she was leaving the country. Could you tell us that story?
Yes, that was a heartbreaking story because the dad and the grandfather came with this little baby, hardly two months old, and another child. And they were having difficulty feeding this kid. And as we had seen the mother earlier, we asked them, you know, the dad said, no, you know, she couldn't come because she was advised by the attorney to leave the country as soon as possible. And so she left with the baby here with the grandfather. And the dad was working and taking care of the other kid as well. And the grandfather was trying his best to feed this little baby, who was not gaining weight, having constipation or diarrhea and all kinds of problems, because the grandpa had no clue as to how to make the formula. His hands were shaking as he was holding the baby, and that brought tears to our eyes. All of us staff were trying our best to just guide the grandfather on, you know, how to make the formula, because he couldn't even read the instructions, nor could he understand the ounces and the measures given on the formula can. So it was terrible. First of all, the baby was denied breast milk that the mom was feeding. And then then I was having another problem being fed here. So I was afraid about both the mental health as the physical health of both the baby and the mom. And this child who needs the mom there for support, comfort, and feeding and everything, a citizen child is being denied of that, you know. And what kind of a adult he is going to be with all this, these problems at such a young age.
Elia Haka is a nutrition services supervisor with the International Community Health Services. Sarah Sumati from One America, this draft proposal has been out for a while. What legal options are there to try to stop this change in policy?
So the draft proposal has been leaked for several months. Currently, it is in the Office of Management and Budget, where it's undergoing a regular review before it is posted to the Federal Register for public comment. This is actually one of the few opportunities that we have in the advocates community to make a real change. There have been rules proposed in the past that have been stopped by public comments. So there are a number of us nationwide here in Washington across all sectors, immigrant rights, health, nutrition, and we're getting ready to have a full-fledged assault during the public comment period to show the administration that this rule change is wrong and will have devastating effects. Again, we don't know when the rule will be published in the Federal Register. What we anticipate is a 60-day comment period. We're ready to go.
Sarah Sumati from One America, also with us, Alia Haq, Nutrition Services Supervisor with the International Community Health Services. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They've been talking to us about a new rule in the works from the Trump administration that would authorize federal officials to deny legal permanent resident status, green cards, to legal immigrants if they've used public benefits, things like food stamps, Medicaid, or housing vouchers, benefits that they are entitled to.